Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's going to win it. Oh, baby, they're going to win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game.
It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Welcome to the NFL season preview, name change pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. You can find me on Twitter at bpriest24, at B-P-R-E-E-C-E. Forgot how to spell my name for a second. 24.
And this is Josh Keel, and I'm at Rise and Shout, and that's correctly spelled R-Y-S-E-N-S-H-O-U-T.
Good to be able to lean on you, too. Step up there, Josh. I kind of fell apart for a moment. But as I mentioned, we're doing our 2019 NFL season preview. Today, Josh and I are going to be discussing the NFC East and NFC South. So we'll go ahead and jump right into it with the Dallas Cowboys. Take it away, Josh.
So last year, the Cowboys were 10-6, and they've been making a lot of news in this offseason because of some of their roster situations. A couple of guys that they did pick up are Randall Cobb, Jason Witten, Robert Quinn on the defensive line, and Tristan Hill at defensive tackle. But they did lose Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams as wide receivers, and Jeff Swaim and David Irving as well.
Really quick, I didn't realize they had signed Robert Quinn. That's going to be quite the tandem with DeMarcus Lawrence on one side of the defensive line and Quinn on the other.
Yeah.
It's tough to block.
Their defense is going to be improved. Like, with all the stuff, I mean, obviously the main news for them is Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott trying to get re-signed and Amari Cooper, right? But I didn't realize that they had Randall Cobb either. So just, I mean, Dak Prescott's going to have Cobb on one side and Amari Cooper on the other.
Yeah, but Cobb really hasn't been a threat for a couple of years, but that could be related to Aaron Rodgers' struggles too.
True, and I feel like he's at least a better wide receiver. He's a good wide receiver, so just having him on the other side, plus Amari Cooper might revitalize what he's good for. They have a couple of injured guys: DeMarcus Lawrence coming off a shoulder, Byron Jones coming off a hip injury, and Travis Frederick is also coming off. Is this an autoimmune disease?
Yeah, so I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head, but he missed all of last season to this autoimmune disease. But they expect him to be healthy. It was just something they discovered in training camp last year.
So we're making predictions on the kind of the best and the worst situations that we can think of for these teams. The best case is for me, I think, is that Zeke signs and Amari and Dak both realize that they're better off being on a team with Zeke, and they play well and they earn their contracts. And then within the division, that the Eagles don't pan out, and I feel like the Redskins and the Giants are already not going to be that good. So with a little bit of help from the Eagles being bad, the Cowboys could make the playoffs and contend for a Super Bowl. If they get Zeke and Dak and everyone in camp and on board, then they got a pretty good team there.
So best case, you're kind of thinking they need help.
They need a little bit of help from other teams, yeah. I feel like they're a playoff contending team, but I don't know if they're good enough to make the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so, I can see that. Backtrack really quick. So the Travis Frederick, that autoimmune disease, he was suffering from Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Which I have no idea.
So it's complex medically, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's super medically complex. The weird thing about the words autoimmune disease, to me, I always think, oh, dude's got AIDS? That's weird. He's a football player with AIDS. But
right?
There's more than one type of autoimmune disease.
Quite a few.
AIDS. So I'm like, dang, that's cool they let him back on the team. Really forward thinking. They're
I don't think that would have happened.
I agree. So the worst case is that Zeke holds out, doesn't play, and then they find out that the offense is just garbage without Zeke being on the team. And then that hurts Dak and Amari because they realize that without a running back like that, the offense isn't going to play to their skill sets. And then worst case would be all three of them decide not to come back after the next contract and Dallas has to start over.
Didn't they already re-sign Cooper? Maybe they didn't. No, I think you're right. They haven't re-signed any of them.
Right.
And Dak reportedly turned down $30 million a year.
Right. It seems like what Jerry Jones is trying to do is like make those three feel like, oh, hey, aren't you guys going to buy in on everything? And everybody take a slightly discounted contract so that you guys can all play together and you can, like, be synergistic and you can all get more in the long run by playing for less right now. And all three of them are saying, nah, bro, that's not how the NFL works. I don't need to take less money right now because in 3 years, if I'm not as good, you're not going to pay me a little bit of extra money as a thank you.
Yeah, you're not going to make it up on the back end.
So let's just give me my money right now. So my actual prediction is that they'll make the playoffs but not the Super Bowl, and like probably just a barely winning record, maybe like 9-7, 10-6 type of record. But I think that'll be enough to get in the playoffs.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as far as my prediction goes, I honestly think without Zeke, that offensive line is still great as long as they can stay healthy. Dak is probably a top 12 to 18 quarterback in the NFL. I don't think he's a great quarterback by any means.
Yeah, I think he's one of those guys who benefits from an awesome offensive line, awesome running back. People have to worry about so many other things that he gets a little bit inflated numbers from that and then looks better than he really is.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, barring injury and things like that, the way the roster currently looks, understanding that Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper are going to play in spite of their contract situations and Zeke is expected to hold out right now, if Zeke's not playing, I've got the Cowboys 6-10 and out of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Without Zeke, it totally changes. Mine was based on the assumption that Zeke figures it out and plays. And they actually have him. Yeah, as of September 3rd, he still hasn't come to training camp. He hasn't done anything. So the reason I say September 3rd is that's the day. So, if Zeke's not on board, then it changes everything, and it goes back to the worst-case scenario of everyone finding out that they're garbage without Zeke.
At least everyone's alive at the end of the year.
on this team.
All right, so next we're going to move on to the New York Football Giants and old Danny Jones. So take it away.
Yeah, Danny Jones was a key acquisition, a quarterback. They still have Eli, who's probably going to start. They got a brutal...
Why? Give me one reason why they have Eli Manning on the roster. Why does any team have him on the roster?
If you're going to put it that way, that's fair. The reason they still have him, I think, is he's a sacrificial lamb. They got Golden Tate, and they got Jabril Peppers and Antoine Bethea. Not Julius Peppers, who retired last. I think, you know, they got to just start from scratch. But this season's so rough, or it starts out, they got three really tough games at the start of the year. So I think he's the sacrificial lamb to go out and look terrible and then get Danny in there once they get more into an evening out. One thing that really hurt them is they signed, they got Sterling Shepard still. They got rid of Odell Beckham, and they... You know, that's a big weapon to lose. And so they've lost both their best wide receivers. And they got Golden Tate. I don't know how much he's going to help them compared to losing OBJ. So
and Tate's suspended for
four games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the start of the season, that's the other thing, right? The start of the year, they don't even have Golden Tate. So I don't know who Eli's even going to throw it to. They just need a body back there to hand it to Saquon and let him figure out life by himself.
45 carries a game.
Yeah, exactly. 45 carries a game. And 13 receptions, and you should definitely get him number one in your fantasy draft.
It feels like that New York situation is one where if you're the head coach or you're the GM, you're not really worried about Saquon's health because you're not planning on being there next year.
Exactly. Like they're building for someone else's future right now. So the best case scenario is that they lose some games, they get a high draft pick, and they keep bolstering their roster going forward. Their worst-case scenario is that because of the 50 carries a game, Saquon gets hurt, and it's something really bad, and then it turns into a lingering career situation, not just a one-time injury thing.
Yeah, I think with the Giants, that's definitely the worst-case scenario. You'd hate to see Saquon. He's a generational type back. He's Adrian Peterson. He's the next Adrian Peterson. And so looking at him, if he gets hurt playing for a team that's not going anywhere, that would be... Right. Really tough.
That's like when I was little and I thought I was going to the NFL because I was 8, I always thought, oh man, it's probably better to be like the 30th best player in your draft class than the best player in your draft class because it's way better to be drafted by a team like the Patriots instead of having to spend your whole career playing for a garbage team like the Giants because you were drafted so high. You know, that's just a way better scenario. And unfortunately for Saquon, it's looking like he might end up being in that scenario where he spends his whole career suffering with the Giants and they can't build a future.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much you would like to see some of those generational talents at least be able to be in a situation where they have a chance. So
right, and the other thing about his use is that even when he becomes a free agent, if he goes someplace else, how much is going to get taken off his career? The average average career for a running back is like 3 years. So how much of his career is going to get just diminished by carrying it 50 times a game instead of being able to go, you know, and show what he's got for a good team?
Yep, exactly. It's just something that's frustrating to see. Did you give the prediction that you have for the Giants?
No, yet. My prediction is that they'll get a high draft pick because they are going to lose a lot of games. They might luck into a couple because that seems to happen sometimes, but like two or three wins is what we're looking at.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I don't know how many wins. We're probably 2-3, and I'm going to say they get another top five draft pick.
Right, I agree.
Up next, after finishing the Giants, we'll move on to the Philadelphia Eagles last year at 9-7. Josh?
Yeah, the Eagles, I think, are a team that can improve from their 9-7 record last year. They picked up DeSean Jackson, who's a good wide receiver. He played for Tampa Bay last year. They picked up a couple of guys like Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard at running back. I'm not super familiar with them, but they're replacing Jay Ajayi. And so
I personally don't know a lot about him. I'm not trying to cut you off. Jordan Howard played for the Bears last year. I think he was with the Bears the last 3 years. He's a good back. You put him in the right system, he's a between the tackle back, and he can get positive yardage on every carry and be solid.
Nice. Yeah. So that's what they're looking for. Even without knowing that much about them, I still think that the Eagles were going to be good, probably win their division because of who's in their division. They lost Golden Tate, but he's going to be suspended for 4 games anyway, so, you know, that would come around.
And then, I mean, they only had him they acquired him mid-season last year anyway, so.
Yeah, he's not a huge part of their offense anyway. He was just to fill in a gap. They'll get Alshon Jeffries back from his rib injury, and then I think they'll be good. But not great. I think if Carson Wentz stays healthy all year, they can be really good. Due to the terribleness of the other teams, they could get home field advantage.
Terribleness. Is that a word?
I don't know, but I'm using it.
I like it. Yeah, I mean, everybody knows what it means.
Yeah, it does. And so due to that, I think they could get home field advantage, which I think is what makes them dangerous, because playing in Philly is a tough place. That could get them the front row seats in Miami for a Patriots victory this January, February.
Harsh.
So, they could do that. Worst case, though, is if Wentz gets hurt, which he typically does, now they don't have St. Nick to come in and save the day. So who knows what happens to their offense. If that happens, I mean, the Cowboys could be sitting really pretty with not having really any other competition in the division to just clean it up.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to keep an eye on with the Eagles is Nate Sudfeld in the first preseason game. He's their backup quarterback, and he's a guy they felt pretty good about from what I had heard, and he broke his wrist, so he's expected to be out at least 6 more weeks. And like you said, with Carson Wentz's history, if he goes down, you're at your third quarterback now. I can't remember who it was. Barkley.
Oh, Matt Barkley.
Matt Barkley, I believe, is who they signed after Sudfeld got hurt. So they're relying on a quarterback that didn't even have a job a month ago. If Wentz isn't healthy, as far as my prediction, I really like Carson Wentz, and I think that the back injury he suffered last year, that's not really something that typically sticks around. Just a fracture in the back. As far as his knee injury the year before, I think it's really underrated with the ACL. A lot of people look at it and they're like, oh, 9 months to a year, but you're really not back to 100% for 2 years.
Right.
So he should come in this year, and I think he'll be really effective.
Especially with him, because he runs a lot. So having a busted up knee makes it even harder for him. It's kind of double because he's not just standing back there slinging it around. He's got to move. Mm-hmm. And having the explosion and the cutting ability and trusting your knee and all that stuff. I think also, if I'm the Eagles coach and I know I don't have the safety blanket anymore, I just have Carson Wentz, I'm going to call a little bit different play calls, maybe fewer PROs and stuff. So that
RPO.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Pass run option.
I got you.
Pass option, same.
I got you.
So, call fewer of those so that he's more throwing the ball or handing the ball off instead of putting him in danger to try to keep him safe, maybe pull him in big games sooner than you normally would to just try to get him through the season to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And assuming he stays healthy, I think they'll that'll be the best team in the NFC East. I think they'll make the playoffs, have a home field, have a home game, and they'll do all right.
I agree with all of that prediction. I think the Eagles are probably top to bottom, you know, 1 through 53, the deepest team in the NFC. I've got them going 12-4, 13-3, assuming Wentz stays healthy and competing for a Super Bowl appearance.
Right, yeah, it'll come down to them and maybe a couple other teams in the NFC to see who gets to go.
Yeah, I mean, luckily for both them and the Cowboys, as you've said a couple of times, they just don't have a lot of competition in this division.
Right, they're going to, one of those two teams is going to make the playoffs, even if they're 7-9.
Yeah, and now we'll touch on the last team in the NFC East. We've got the Washington Professional Football Team.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and stick to it. We'll see how it goes.
My notes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Redskins picked up Dwayne Haskins and Case Keenum to play quarterback. They got this dude named Darius Geis. Is how you say his name?
Yeah.
He played at LSU last year.
Darius Geis.
And he's pretty good, too. He's been doing all right in the preseason, which I know is not an indicator of success in the regular season. But I think he's got potential to be a good running back. I just feel like they're just not a good team still. So I think they still have Adrian Peterson, but he's super old.
And not as old as Frank Gore.
Not as old as Frank Gore. But Adrian Peterson, I mean, yeah, they're both just so very old. I think they'll be, you know, serviceable, but they're not gonna be good. They're not gonna make the playoffs, I don't think. The best case scenario for them, I feel like, is that Haskins and Geis get in the season kind of early in the season, start to, you know, polish up, get better, become better pros, and they just look for the future, and they can see what they've got in those two guys and what they need. You know, if those two guys are, you know, quality guys and they can get them on the rookie contracts, pick up a wide receiver, maybe next year we're talking about the Redskins being good, or maybe 2 years down the road.
Yeah, because in the NFL, teams go from the bottom of the top in 1 year pretty regularly. So if they've got those two pieces,
right,
good shape.
Especially a lot of teams, like you look at like the Rams, they're on playing on Jared Goff's rookie contract, or the Chiefs are doing the same thing with Patrick Mahomes. If they can get Haskins on a rookie contract and a running back on a rookie contract, they can just build around and build a mean defense and just ride that through their rookie contracts and be able to afford other players around them.
Probably want to get a left tackle at this point. Trent Williams doesn't seem very happy.
Right. So that was my worst case scenario, is that both of those guys are terrible and that Trent Williams decides that it's not just enough to not trust the coaching staff. He sours the entire offensive line on the coaching staff and then just disintegrates it from the inside and goes sleeper cell on everybody. And then they got a whole new set of problems that, you know, they don't want.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you have for a prediction?
Prediction, I'd say Haskins and Geis get limited playing time early, and then they play a bunch at the end. And because they're starting a rookie quarterback and a rookie running back, and they don't have a left tackle, they are not good at the game of football and don't win very many games.
I think for my prediction, I really it's hard to make a prediction because I'm looking at their roster, and I like Dwayne Haskins. I think he's got some potential to be a good quarterback, but if he isn't a good quarterback, or if he's not ready this year, they don't have anyone on their roster. Colt McCoy and Case Keenum are not NFL quarterbacks, and that honestly might be the best case for the Redskins, is to be stuck with them and go, you know, 1-15, 2-14, and be able to pick Tua or I mean, they did take Dwayne Haskins last year, but have an opportunity if they like Tua or Justin Herbert, or they can move that pick and bring in more assets.
Right, and yeah, they already named Case Keenum the starter, so he's going to be again, NFL teams seems like they do that a lot. The start of the year, when they're trying to sell, that they're trying to win games, they put in a veteran who maybe isn't as good as the rookie, let him go out there and get beat up a bunch, lose some games, and then say, okay, now it's time, now we got to put him in and let him learn. And then 8 games in the season, Haskins comes in, it's his job. I mean, the Browns did that with Baker Mayfield last year, and that's part of the reason they're so excited this year. They let him go out there, he plays the last half of the season, wins some games, all of a sudden there's excitement for the next year.
Yeah, it's one of those methods. It's either going to work out really well, or either way you're going to have an answer, I guess,
right,
to summarize it.
If Haskins comes in and he's terrible, then they can say, oh, we need Tua. If he comes in and he's good, but they just need, you know, they can go get some offensive lineman from Alabama who's good and figure that out.
Yep, exactly. So that's going to be the NFC East. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll return and talk about the NFC South.
We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts, Brian Priest, at bpriest24, Tommy Girone, at ruthless_lupe, and Josh Keel, at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending.
Welcome back to the 2019 NFL season preview on Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Priest. I'm on the show today with Josh Keel.
Hello, Brian. It's nice to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you. We just got finished covering the NFC East, and we'll cover the NFC South really quick before Josh has to go to work.
Yes, sir. You want to talk about the Falcons?
Yeah, go ahead. Start with the Falcons.
All right, so the Falcons.
Dirty birds.
Yeah, I feel like they really took a step back after making it to the Super Bowl last year, and they need to do better this year. They lost Tevin Coleman, who's a good running back. They had a good 1-2 punch going with him and Devontae Freeman, and so it's kind of yet to be seen how Freeman's going to do without Tevin Coleman giving him spell. They did pick up a guy named, I think you say his name, Kadri Olison.
I'm pretty sure it's Kadri, yeah.
And then so
it's a Q without a U. So it's not English.
I wanted to call him Quadri, but there's no U in there. So I'm like, uh-huh. I guess it's Quadri. And then they got Luke Stocker at tight end. They redid their offensive line. They got 4 new offensive linemen, 3 of them guards. James Carpenter, Chris Lindstrom, and I want to say that name Hamon, but it's not. It's Damon Brown.
We can call him Hamon if we want.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the dude out of Oklahoma? Maybe not. No, I'm thinking of someone else.
The guy at Oklahoma is Caleb McGarry. He plays tackle.
Oh, okay.
And so, that's another one, right? They got a bunch of rookies to play offensive line, so we'll see if they can figure that out. So they got a bunch of guys. They drafted a bunch of guys to play on the offensive line, so they're going to have a bunch of rookies. So we'll see how that pans out for them, but that was one of the things they need to fix to be able to
rookies. The odds are rookies aren't going to be worse than their offensive line was last year. So
exactly, that's why they spent so many draft picks on them. If they redid their offensive line and their running game looks good, they got a lot of wide receivers that they can throw to, and they still got Matt Ryan, who's a good quarterback. I kind of feel like he's we were talking about Dak Prescott earlier being a product of the system and having good players around him. I feel like Matt Ryan's a little bit like that. He's got really good receivers to throw it to. He's got, you know, Julio Jones and the other guys. And so if he can get it to those guys, I think they'll be okay. Unfortunately for the Falcons, they have to play in the same division with the Saints and, depending on Cam Newton's health, the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And with, you know, having 3 teams that could make the playoffs in your division. And then who knows about the Buccaneers, too. I don't think the Buccaneers are going to be that much this year, but those other 3 teams are good, so they might just be the team sitting, the girls left sitting at the dance that doesn't get to go because they just had to play against too many good teams.
Yeah.
So I feel like if their upgraded offensive line doesn't work out, then Matt Ryan and the receivers aren't going to be enough to get them to win the playoffs. And so I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because I just don't think that a bunch of rookies on the offensive line and half their running backs coming back are going to be enough to sustain Matt Ryan through a season.
Yeah. Interesting fact. Matt Ryan, he was second for highest fantasy scoring quarterback in a standard format. And you know what that means? Nothing to me. I don't trust him. You know, besides that Super Bowl run, I don't trust Matt Ryan to lead the Falcons and be a successful team. So as far as my prediction, I've got the Falcons probably going 7-9, 8-8, missing the playoffs because of that tough division, like you said.
So with the Carolina Panthers, they went 7-9 last year. I think they'll be better this year because I think that Cam Newton will recover from his injuries. Kind of ironic that he got hurt again in the preseason.
Only time he appeared.
Yeah, so I don't know that he's going to – maybe that's a false hope that he's going to do better, but I'd like to give him credit for being better. They picked up Chris Hogan on offense. And they got Gerald McCoy and Brian Burns on defense. Gerald McCoy, I feel like, is a good pickup on the defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be able to put pressure on him. They got defensive-minded head coach. As long as Cam Newton recovers from his injury, I think they'll be able to take second place in their division, win enough games to be able to make the wild card, 9 or 10 games, and be able to have a wild card game, maybe on the road, just barely squeak into the playoffs. But they're not going to beat the Saints, so they're going to be best case for them is second place in their division.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I want to make sure and mention a couple players. Christian McCaffrey is obviously going to be huge with this team. And then you if you're the Panthers, you really defensively, you have to have Luke Kuechly healthy. If he's not healthy, then your defense isn't going to be good, and it doesn't really matter if Cam is healthy or not. So my prediction on the Panthers is going to be, I don't know. I don't know if Cam's going to be able to change his style of play, and I think he's going to continue to take hits, and he's just going to be injury prone at this point.
Yeah.
So I've got Cam Newton missing some games, and the Panthers dropping and going 5-11, 6-10.
Yeah, which might work out for him, because sometimes you got to go through that pain to fix your style. And maybe he'll learn from a third season like that. But, yeah, I like to give, I guess some players benefit of the doubt that he'll be able to stay healthy. So we'll see what happens with him. But as Cam Newton goes, so will the team. If he gets hurt and he's out a few games, I agree, they're going to win 5 games and just have a high draft pick.
Yeah. I mean, Christian McCaffrey will put up numbers. So
yeah, he's going to be good for him. Saquon Barkley, living that Saquon Barkley life of just catching everything, running everything, just being everything, and then hopefully doesn't, get hurt.
Yeah. Okay. New Orleans Saints last year, 13-3.
Yep. New Orleans Saints.
Was it a penalty?
Well, if the ref doesn't throw a flag, it's not a penalty, Brian. I don't know. Okay. What are you, a Saints fan? Come on.
Just checking.
Obviously, the refs in this league are so good that if there was a penalty, they would have thrown a flag.
Only the best.
So they lost Mark Ingram. I think that's a big deal because he was, with their thunder and lightning of Ingram and Kamara. You lose half of that, it's going to affect your running game. Fortunately, they have Taysom Hill who can, cover any error for any team at any position. So,
I just got to unplug my mic.
So they might not miss him as much as other teams would because of the Taysom Hill factor, but, that's it. So I think the best case scenario for the Saints is that Drew Brees, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, Sean Payton ride Taysom Hill's coattails to the Super Bowl. As Taysom goes, so will the team go, obviously. Worst case scenario is that Drew Brees seems old, because he is, and he starts to fall apart. I don't think he's going to just be a disaster, but he's not going to, maybe doesn't throw, 40-something touchdowns and have the highest completion percentage in the history of the league this year. And if that happens, then, they might not be as good. They were so close. They were one incompletion away from going to the Super Bowl last year. So, they just got to complete one more pass, and maybe they go this year.
Yeah. I think, for me, there's two questions with the Saints. Center Max Unger retiring could have a big impact if Eric McCoy isn't able to come in and hold down that spot effectively. And then Drew Brees, it's kind of a well-kept secret that the last half of 2018 season, Drew Brees was a bottom half of the NFL quarterback. He came out early in the year like gangbusters, like he always does, but the last half of the year, he showed his age.
Right, and that's the big worry, right? Because if he falls apart, like joking aside about Taysom Hill, if Drew Brees falls apart, the Saints could look like garbage because, he's making completions that most guys don't make. He's making plays, and he's checking down and doing things that most of the quarterbacks in the league can't do. And if his arm's not there because he's just getting old, then there's nothing he can do. It's kind of like that last season with Peyton Manning, where he's still Peyton Manning and making the right reads, but he just can't get the ball there like he used to could. And so it causes problems, right?
It was a whole lot worse than that. Yeah. Take it from the Broncos fan. So what do you have for a prediction with the Saints?
I think that they'll get into the playoffs. I don't know if they can get to the Super Bowl, but they can get close. It just depends on Drew Brees being able to play like a 35-year-old instead of a 39-year-old.
I think the guys around Drew Brees are good enough. As I said, Eric McCoy can play well and hold down the center of that offensive line. The Saints are the best team in this division. They win. They drop back a little bit from last year. They win 11 games, and they represent the NFC South in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, worst-case scenario for them, Drew Brees gets hurt, and then they got Taysom. In which case, a Super Bowl is guaranteed.
Next time we talk about the Saints, I'm going to have like a Taysom counter. It's kind of like the Allen Iverson press conference. How many times he said practice?
Yeah, it seems fair. I mean, if you're talking about the Saints, what else would you talk about?
I don't know. The good players.
I am talking
guys
about.
Guys who see the field.
The best player. Hey, no one sees the field more than him. He's in on offense, defense, special teams. How many block punts did
Alvin Kamara have last year? Do you want to go to a Saints game this year? Because I've seen Taysom Hill in person 3 times. And he's suffered a season-ending injury three times.
No, it's your fault. I don't want to do that.
I don't know if I ever told you that. All three of his season-ending injuries I was there for.
No, because one of them happened in the Nebraska game.
No.
Yeah, Liz Frank.
Was it really?
It was in Nebraska, because that's when Tanner Mangum.
And then the other two were Utah State?
The other two were Utah State.
I'm thinking of the year in between the Taysom Hill injuries when BYU hurt Chucky Keaton.
That's what I'm thinking of. 2 years in a row, the best quarterback in the state got his leg broken in BYU Utah State game.
Okay. We'll move on to the we both did our prediction.
We both said that they're going to be good, win, maybe go to Super Bowl, maybe not. You need to be better than the Rams this year.
Okay, so Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they added people, they lost people, but I think it all comes down to Jameis Winston for them. If he can figure it out and be a good quarterback, then I think that they got a future going forward and they can figure it out. One, I mean, they drafted terribly. They got Matt Gay. He is a terrible, terrible person.
I'm pretty sure he was the best kicker in the nation last year for the University of Utah.
He was. And that last sentence is all you need to know about his character. The worst case, though, is that Jameis is what I think Jameis is, which is, you know, a hot pile of garbage. And so he
likes crab legs, okay?
He loves crab legs.
Grocery store crab legs.
He makes good choices is what he does.
Get off the man's back.
So he's going to be garbage, and they're going to not win games. And, that's it.
Yeah, with the Bucs, I really like their tight end, O.J. Howard. Unfortunately, Josh said it. They got Jameis Winston at quarterback, and he's not a good he's not a good decision maker, is the thing. Right. That's really what it comes down to. I don't trust Jameis when he looks at a defensive front to make the correct read more often than not.
Right, or to make the right decision to just throw it away.
Protection breaks down.
Find a guy, run, pass, all that stuff. You just don't – it's like – if you give him a choice between good and bad, he's going to pick bad 60% of the time. So I don't think they'll be good because of that. And then next year, maybe they'll be one of the teams drafting either Tua or Justin Herbert. Does Trevor Lawrence still play one more college year?
Yeah, he's only a sophomore.
So maybe they'll be just good enough to not do that and draft Trevor Lawrence in 2 years.
I'm going to say the worst case scenario is the most likely scenario for the Bucs, and that they're not bad enough to get one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. They're going to win 5 games.
Yeah.
Because they're talented enough to piece together some wins. And they have a kicker.
Yeah. If Matt Gay is the reason they win 5 games. Oh, my goodness. So, I think so, too. Pick 12th, not pick anyone of substance, and then just be stuck with Jameis Winston and whatever free agents are available. Maybe they'll go get Marcus Mariota and give him another chance next year.
I think that would be the funniest decision they could possibly make. Because the year those two were drafted, it was between Jameis or Mariota.
Right.
And
it'd be funny if the Titans and the Bucks were like, look, we're both screwed. Week 7, we're trading quarterbacks. See if this one works for you and that one works for me, and let's just figure this out.
Do you think they'd rather trade quarterbacks or trade the rest of the roster and keep their quarterbacks?
Either way. I think everyone in Tennessee would rather trade locations.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, they would definitely rather trade locations with the Bucs. So that's going to wrap up our 2019 NFL season preview for the NFC East and the NFC South. Stay tuned to Name Change Pending. We're going to release season previews for the rest of the NFL divisions, and make sure and check it out on Tuesday morning. I released the Utah State season preview just a couple days late after their first game. So get on and check that out. This is your host, Brian Priest. Josh, you had a question? Sorry.
What was your prediction for the Wake Forest game?
Well, I didn't bother to predict that one. We just recapped it.
Oh, okay.
It worked out really well. So I'm wrong on one less thing now.
Nice job.
Which is always nice. Thank you. But this has been Name Change Pending. Your host, Brian Priest. Find me on Twitter at bpriest24, joined by co-host Josh Keel today.
Yep, and you can find me on Twitter at Rise and Shout, which is RYSENSHOUT.
And thank you again for checking out the podcast. We'll see you later this week.